T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Here we are, fourth and final hour of Sports Talk on WWLAMFM.com. Also coming up this hour, John Brady, LSU basketball color analyst, and Jeff Nowak, Odyssey Sports, sat down with Mark Ingram on a one-on-one situation. We'll play that for you coming up this hour. Bobby, what's on the text line?
Yeah, you know what? Because people have asked me this. I don't have the exact answer, but maybe I can have an opinion. You probably have an opinion, Christian. And this is from 3449, and it goes on to say there was no plan to replace Drew Brees. Who answers for that? Now, ultimately, they had a plan. Maybe it worked out or it didn't work out. I still think we got to wait and see the process. Now, there was no plan to replace Drew Brees. There was a plan.
It just didn't go the Saints' way.
Now, was it Jameis Winston? Now, ultimately, I would think, because of the stroke and power of a Sean Payton or Mickey Loomis, they would be held responsible because that's the head coach and the general manager. Now, I don't know if Jameis Winston's going to work out. I think Mickey has to love bang for your buck. Look what they got Jameis Winston, what they paid him. They didn't pay him jack.
Yeah.
They didn't pay him anything. He wanted to be in the Ivy League quarterback room, so to speak, Harvard, between Sean Payton, Pete Carmichael, and Drew Brees to try and develop and be that guy. So you look at Jameis, where he was drafted and all that. Listen, Sean Payton and the Saints were in the hunt for Patrick Mahomes. Now,
in that draft, that 2017 draft class.
It's a cat and mouse game, what happened with Andy Reid and the Chiefs and the Saints.
Jumped right in front of them.
They were right there to go after Patrick Mahomes. Even though you have Drew Brees, the great Drew Brees, first ballot Hall of Famer. So I'd ultimately say, though, right now the situation the Saints are in is you have to hold them accountable. It'd be Sean Payton and Mickey Loomis.
Yeah.
Because, Sean, like, I think it was almost pie in the sky thinking Taysom Hill can be the next Steve Young. What? No. As a football player, Taysom Hill is unbelievable. Steve Young's a Hall of Fame quarterback. Taysom Hill ain't no damn Hall of Fame quarterback. Listen, Taysom Hill could throw the ball somewhat, but he's not like Josh Allen. That's why Josh Allen don't have to go block punts or go down on kickoff coverage, because at a level he is a quarterback. So I think that was more pie in the sky. That Sean wanted Taysom Hill to work out. Now, with Jameis Winston, I think it's more on decision-making, not necessarily the arm strength and what you could do to make big plays. I never forget, Sean Payton had me in training camp. Jameis Winston made a throw. And not too many individuals can make this throw. Now, I've been around Jeff George. I ain't my first rodeo. I've been around players what I've witnessed, like, whoa. That wasn't no 15, 20-yard in cut. That was 40, 45 yards on the line trying to be covered too. When you got two deep safeties and the cornerback kind of drifting and how you influence the safety, he has to cover maybe the middle of the field or the sideline, and then how you have to have an arm. You got to be able to get the ball there. Jameis Winston made a throw, and Sean came up to me, boy, did you see Jameis Winston throw that ball in the turkey hole? And I can tell you right now, Maybe Drew Brees a little younger before his shoulder all could maybe attempt at that throw. But he really, it's all about anticipation. Drew Brees could not make that throw. But Jameis Winston could. But all the other stuff that Drew Brees could do, come on, Taysom Hill. I mean, Jameis Winston couldn't do. I mean, do you notice one of the best plays that I witnessed when you look at the Chiefs and what occurred their games against the Bills? Now it's a simple throw. It's not that far. You know, oh, you got to throw the ball down the field. Look how accurate Patrick Mahomes was to Tyreek Hill when he hit him in stride. Did you notice that play when you think you have that angle but you don't?
Mm-hmm.
It was like the Jets and Tyreek Hill scored. You know why? He was full speed when he caught the ball. He didn't have to go back and catch it and then try and recover, hit him in stride. That's what Drew Brees did. Unbelievable. And Pat Mahomes did on that throw. You hit him in stride and they hit it and get it. That's what Alvin Kamara appreciated. See, whether it's Taysom or Jameis, sometimes you don't have that. You just don't. And, I mean, you might say, well, he still caught it. But, no, the momentum and the accuracy of the football, what it takes to get the yards after the catch.
He's Bobby Hebert. I'm Christian Garrick. John Brady, LSU basketball color analyst, will join us next here on Sports Talk on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
Back here on Sports Talk, Bobby Hebert, Christian Garrick, John Brady joining us now, LSU basketball color analyst. John, how are you? Scotty dialed this up for you.
Man, John's probably dancing right now.
Well, I might after I get off with you guys.
Hey, so, John, was that kind of hard to watch the game last night? I mean, that's the kind of game you want to win, but it was an ugly win.
Well, I don't know how many. I mean, you played, Bobby. I never did not enjoy a win, but it was a much needed win for LSU. It was the timing of it after 3 losses, and then we go on the road to TCU. It was a great win for LSU. You know, I thought both teams played really hard. I think you could criticize some of the execution.
Turnovers.
There was a lot of activity with not a lot accomplished, but they were playing hard, and I got to give both teams credit for that. And in some of my keys to victory, I thought the last key to victory, I said both of these teams are similar. They turn the ball over a little bit. They don't shoot it great. Neither team's a great rebounding team, but they are both well-coached, and they do play hard. And I thought the toughest team, it may be as simple as that, the team that is toughest and competes the best will win the game, because there are going to be some mistakes in it because of the nature of the two ball clubs that were playing. But LSU was got a huge win, and a timely win. I texted Will Wade this morning. I said, this may be your best win since you've been here because of how it happened and when it happened on the schedule.
Yeah, you look at the adversity to turn things around and get back on a winning streak. You look at the strength of schedule. Now, obviously, as fans, we look at all that, but you have to be impressed with, can you handle adversity and how are you going to close out a game? I think that's what I was impressed with, how LSU closed it out.
Well, the key, in the first 6 SEC games, we were allowing opponents to go to the free throw line a little over 25 times a game. We were fouling what I describe as carelessly and needlessly. Last night, we flipped that around, and we went to the free throw line 35 times. LSU is not a team that if teams take us off of the free throw line and take us off of easy baskets in transition and make us play the majority of the game in the half court, that's how we get beat. People were slowing us down. We got up to 70 points last night, and any time LSU can do that, we win. And our losses, if we had scored 70 points, we'd have won those games. So
right.
it's a matter of teams taking us off the free throw line, which A&M did not, taking us out of transition, which A&M did not. We created easy baskets. We're not a very good half-court team. And that's why we were able to win last night. And I think playing at home in front of 10,000 people also helped us the last 5 or 6 minutes last night as well.
Now, Coach Brady, when you look at obviously you have to have luck with injuries. So what is your take going forward on that? And then, there's no excuse, but then you plug and play and you put another individual in there to take advantage of maybe more minutes because you have those injuries. But what is your take as a coach and how do you challenge players? And you can name the individuals and who you think contributed at a high level and that if we're going to do anything in the future, we need these cats back.
Yeah, you're exactly right. You know, and Eason and Days are two keys to the team. But,
yeah.
You know, the best medicine for guys getting well quick is win a game without them. And I think that was a good medicine last night. It showed both those guys, hey, we need you, and everybody's been saying that, but we did win last night without you. I think they may do it again at TCU. Then we have the bottom team coming in Tuesday in Ole Miss, so it's a chance to get three games back. But, you know, today's world, you know, Bob, when I played and when I even coached, several many years ago, I would challenge guys to get back quick and try to make them feel bad by not playing, particularly with something that's not a major injury.
Right.
In today's world, you got to be careful with that. You know, you got to touch all the cross the T's, dot all the I's, and those days where and you played hurt, you know, and you felt
you had to
you
play hurt. I mean, come
yeah.
on, they could get rid of you if you don't play hurt. You got a hangnail. A hangnail? What the hell is that? I mean, come on.
Well, it's different today, and I think Will's in that position. They got to be careful with Pinson. He does have a knee, and then Darius Days has an ankle. And a lot of times with ankles, it's kind of up to the individual. I mean, he gets treatment every day, and the individual player has to decide most of the time if he can go or not. And we'll just see. I think Days has to play. I think he'll play Saturday. I think Pinson will try to play Saturday, but for sure I think Pinson will be back Tuesday against Ole Miss.
Now, Coach Brady, when you look at it, and obviously you look at SEC basketball and the schedule, how it plays out, but I don't know. As a casual basketball fan and observing what LSU's doing, I'm kind of optimistic. I trust Coach Wade and where they're at and this team that I'd be extremely disappointed if they don't go on a win streak.
Well, we came through the first part of the schedule in not in great shape, but in decent shape. That's
right.
Why the win last night was important. Now the schedule tilts our way. We're playing the bottom teams now for a stretch of 5 or 6 games, maybe 7, and then we end 2 or 3 with Alabama, Arkansas. So this is the time for us to make some hay right here over the next 2 to 3 weeks, next 3 weeks of the season, actually. And if we can do that, certainly puts us out. I think the winner of the league could lose 5 games. You know, it may be a 5-game loss or a 6-game loss because Georgia beats Alabama the other night. Nobody thought that.
Right.
So the winner of the league could lose up to 6 games.
Now, Coach Brady, when you look at it, I don't know, you look at Coach Pearl and what he's done with the Auburn Tigers. I don't know. Now you could handle things above and beyond board on top of the table instead of underneath, so to speak. But, I mean, when I look at where Auburn's at, to be number one in the nation, I mean, that's pretty impressive. Because you look at Gonzaga, it's like Gonzaga or Kansas or whatever it might be. Boy, it's amazing when I look at college basketball now. But I'm kind of impressed with Coach Pearl has done at Auburn Tigers.
Yeah, well, they're going to win the league. They have one loss. I mean, I'm talking about the teams that finished second, third, fourth,
right,
and
right.
have 5 losses or so. But, yeah, you know, Pearl's a personality. And there's two things. He's a very good basketball coach, and he's an outstanding recruiter. And you put those two together, usually have pretty good teams. And I'm going to throw you a caveat in here that you may not know, but – In 2000, when we won the SEC at LSU and went to the Sweet 16, there was a guy on my team with Stromile Swift named Jabari Smith. That is this kid's daddy who played for me here at LSU. His son, Jabari Smith, is one of the top five players in the country on the Auburn team, and he's a freshman there. Whoa. So that's a caveat that some people may have put together, but some may not. And when we went to Auburn to play, Jabari, who played for me, came down and brought his son out, and I was able to meet his son. So it means a couple of things that team he was on at LSU was pretty good, and that I'm getting old if I'm looking at players' sons that I coached.
Coach, where do you look at when you look at all, it's different Power Five conferences when you look at basketball versus football or vice versa. Where do you look at the SEC top to bottom compared to, north, south, east, west as far as hanging and to be legit? Because, you look at the Baylor Bears. I think that was impressive what Baylor did last year. They're still in the thick of things. But when you look at the Pac-12, you look at the Big Ten, Big 12, whatever it might be, traditional like a North Carolina, Duke, whatever. Where does the SEC stack up right now?
Well, I think the SEC is as athletic as any team in the country, and I think that's one thing the SEC has always been able to recruit, particularly the last 3 or 4 years. They've got tremendous athletes. And then you look at the NBA draft the last couple of years, and there's been as many players chosen from the SEC and the NBA draft as of any in the country. So
okay.
I think that's another indication of the talent level. Auburn's number one in the country. We had seven teams go to the NCAA tournament last year, six or seven teams. We're going to have probably six teams go this year to the NCAA tournament. So arguably it's one of the top two or three leagues in the country year in and year out. And I think now in the SEC, they really have some outstanding coaches that know what they're doing. So I've always had this simple equation that good players and good coaches make for really good teams. And I think there's about six or seven of them in the SEC that can play with anybody.
Now, Coach Brady, they don't even play football. Why Gonzaga? I mean, the middle of nowhere, but Spokane, Washington, is that because of the coach? I mean, Gonzaga, think about it. Gonzaga Bulldogs. I mean, that's in the middle of nowhere. What would intrigue a player to go there? Is it tradition or maybe, I know, Stockton going way back, but is it because of the coach what they have right now?
I think it's part of the coach and the success of the program and the national attention they get and the home court advantage that they have. They play on a smaller place campus, much like Duke. They sell it out. It's a wild atmosphere. You don't have to fight the attention with football. You're the number one show on campus year-round.
Right.
I mean, a lot of those things appeal to young guys. And a lot of times with Gonzaga, only in the last year or two, they've had players check out after their sophomore year. Usually that program has seniors on the team. Sometimes they redshirt.
Right.
It's been there 4 or 5 years. So they get the benefit of that. Plus, they're not playing in the SEC, the Big 12. They're not playing those
right.
type of teams every night. And so when they get to the NCAA tournament, they've got a tremendous amount of confidence. They are a good basketball team. They are well coached, but they haven't gone through the grind.
The gauntlet,
teams have in the SEC, yeah.
John Brady, LSU men's basketball color analyst. John, thanks so much for the time.
All right, Coach Brady, we got to go back to Desi Vegas and have a little steak, you and I.
Bobby, I'm wide open, man.
Scott is too. Scotty is too.
Thank you, John.
All right, John.
All right, we'll step away and come back. Jeff Nowak of Odyssey Sports has a one-on-one with running back Mark Ingram. This is Sports Talk here on WWL.
Obviously, you came back this season. There's got to be a lot of emotions tied in there. What was that experience like, just even beyond football, just kind of getting back? Because New Orleans is a place, right? There are cities, there are teams, but then New Orleans is a place.
It's a city and it's a place with its own tradition, its own heritage, its own vibe, its own energy. So just to be able to, more than just coming back to New Orleans Saints, like just coming back to the city. When I came back, man, just people, friends who I have for a lifetime now that I developed over my first 8 years here were just overjoyed, just calling me like so happy, so much energy, so thankful. And I was feeling the same way. Everybody was like telling me, thank you. I'm like telling them, I'm like, well, thank you. Like, I'm glad to be back. You know what I mean? Like just the energy coming back to the Saints, coming back to a place that drafted me, where I spent 8 years, where I met my wife, where I had my first three kids, where I became a man, you know what I mean? And just so much success, so much great memories, just to be able to come back to the Saints, come back to the city. The Saints and the city of New Orleans are one heartbeat. They go hand in hand, man. So just the energy and the love you get from the city, whether you're at the gas pump, whether you're at the grocery store, whether you're at the movie theater, whether you're out to eat, like the energy and the love that you get from the city is just second to none. And I miss that, man. And I was just so happy to come back and receive that love and be able to give that love back to, because I missed the Saints. I missed the city. And it's a special place to my heart, a special place to my family. So it's just what an amazing chance to be able to come back. And obviously we fell short being able to go to the playoffs and, you know, shoot for that title. But I'm here for another year. That's the same mission, you know, bringing Lombardi back to the city.
Are the kids still calling it McNorlands?
Yes, yes. I want to go back to McNorlands. I'm like, all right, you going back to McNorlands. my second baby girl, she – I tell her, like, okay, we go on vacation anywhere. Like, yeah. You know, we go anywhere you want. Like, pick one. Like, we'll go as a fam. She's like, I want to go to McNorlands. I'm like, what? Like, you can go anywhere you want to go to McNorlands? But, yeah, it was great. It was great. It was great. And that's her nickname for the city.
I enjoy it. I always have a good time with it. Okay, so obviously you knew this question was coming. You know, obviously, I think Sean Payton's decision, while not being completely out of left field, you know, I think it caught a lot of people by surprise, especially I think Streif said that, you know, the coaches found out about 30 minutes before everybody else. You know, what was your kind of initial reaction to that news?
Man, it was crazy. It kind of caught everybody off guard, but man, this business is a tough business, man. And anytime you get to go out on your own terms, I think that's a blessing. And he and Coach Payton got to do that, man. And obviously everyone has to do what's best for them and their family at the time and at the moment in time. And I just hope and wish the best for him and his family at this point in time, in this next chapter of his life, man. I know whatever Coach Payton does when he makes changes, he has some type of plan, some type of strategy on what's going to happen. So I'm looking forward to see what's in the future for him, what the future holds for him. I know it'll be all good things because he's a great guy and he's a competitor and he always wants to do the best and be the best. So whatever it is, I know he's going to do great at it. I'm appreciative of him, thankful for him. He drafted me 2011, helped me become a better professional football player, helped me become a better man, develop into a better man the 8 years I was with him. And he brought me back, and I'm just thankful for everything he's done for me in my career. And I love him. I support him. Wish him the best. I always got his back, man. So congrats to Sean, Coach Sean, on a legendary coaching career, Super Bowl champ, changed the whole culture, changed the city. You know, definitely his legacy will live on in the Saints forever.
Have you got a chance to speak yet? Or, you know, are there any conversations that you wouldn't mind sharing?
I texted him like, man, just checking on you, man. Hope you're doing well. Congratulations. Wish you blessings, health, wealth, success to you and yours in this next chapter of your life. He's like, thanks, man. We're going to talk this week. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, we'll get on the phone and talk when everything calms down for you. I know your phone's going crazy. I know life's probably hectic right now for you. So when stuff calms down, we'll get on the phone and talk and wrap it up. But that's my guy, man. I know I could reach out to him. He knows he could reach out to me. It's just it's mutual love, mutual respect.
Now, I think this is something you could speak to kind of from a unique perspective in that I think anytime you coach somewhere for, you know, 16 years, you have to kind of adapt a lot just because the world changes around you and you have to continue with it. And I'm just curious, you know, from your time here in, you know, the early 2010s versus, you know, when you came back this year, you know, what would you say was the most significant thing that you noticed that, you know, this is different. You know, this is something that's changed. This is something that I don't remember.
Till now, I think he was just a little bit more relaxed, a little bit more calm. He still had that intensity Sunday, still had that intensity in practice, the attention to detail, getting things right, installing in meetings. He still had intensity, but I think he was just a little bit more calm, a little bit more chill, still, joking around with guys, having fun with guys. I think over time, good people over the years, they develop into a better version of themselves. You know what I mean? And I think from the time that I was drafted there in 2011 till now, I think he just kind of developed to a better version of himself each and every year. And from 2011 till now, I just think he just kind of was comfortable with where he was at, with where his feet were at, with the team, with how he coached the team, with how he handled players, and how he coached the game and the process of becoming winners and the process of becoming champions. I think he was real comfortable and confident in his abilities and what it took to get there. So obviously I think he just became a better version of himself over time.
I think that makes sense. And, you know, I wasn't here. I've only been covering the team for the last couple of years, but I go back and I watch some of the clips, some of the interviews from earlier in his career. And it does seem like a different guy. And did that kind of filter into the locker room a bit? It seems like, you know, from dance parties in the locker room to whatever it is, just seems like the atmosphere around the team has become a lot more, I don't want to say player oriented, because I think it was always player oriented, but it seems like it's been like the fun of it all has been embraced a little bit more in the recent years. I'm curious what you would say about that.
I think it's just so hard to win in this league, and you put in so much work and so much time throughout the week preparing for a game, preparing to make plays, preparing for situations. When those situations arise and you capitalize on them and they work and the play works and somebody makes a big play, a big run, a big catch, a big tackle, a big interception, a big sack, a big field, make a field goal, a punt to pin somebody back, somebody going down and making a tackle to tackle them on the 2-3 yard line. You know what I mean? I think those need to be celebrated because it's so hard to make those plays in this league. When you get victories in this league, it's so hard. Teams are so good. Players are so good. Coaches are so good that it is hard to get victories in this league. And I think Sean just over the course of the years, learned to appreciate that, learned to admire that, and learned to celebrate that. And we as a whole team learned to love that, learned to appreciate that, learned to celebrate that. So after a win, it's not like we haven't been there. We haven't done that, because we have. But it's celebrating one another, being with your guys, being with your coaches. They put in so many hours putting in game plans for us. We put in so many hours preparation, taking care of our bodies, away from our families. So we all need to celebrate each other and have fun when we're winning, when we're doing good, when you see your friend make plays, when Sean calls a play in the red zone that he said was going to score on Friday, and it does. You know, we high five, we hug each other, like we love each other. We embrace and cherish that moment. So I think over the years, I think Sean just learned to embrace those moments, celebrate those moments with your people. And I think that resonated with the whole team.
You know, and is that something that you've kind of come to appreciate more too as well? You know, obviously the last few years has been all over the place, you know, Baltimore, Houston, you know, even, you know, if you want to look at it this way, this would be your fourth head coach in the last 3 years, next season, whoever it is. You know, how has that experience of just kind of, you spent the first part of your career in New Orleans, and then you got to see what life was like in other locker rooms and on other rosters, and then you're kind of back here now, you know, has that kind of helped just give some perspective on the NFL experience that you might not have had before?
Yeah, man. You just go to different places and different locker rooms. Baltimore is a tremendous organization, one of the tops in the league, just like the Saints. Locker room was great, man. And then you go to Houston, man. I'm thankful that the Houston gave me a chance to believe in me, sign me, you know what I mean? And gave me a chance, opportunity to play ball, man. I'm thankful for them. Thankful for them being honest with me and transparent with me when the Saints called and inquired about me. So I'm just to be able to go through the business and learn the business, learn different places, different locker rooms, different cities. That's something I appreciate. And I'm thankful for that opportunity, man. To be able to go to some different places and experience the business and experience different places, different organizations, different front offices, different coaching staffs, different facilities, like all of that stuff, man. I don't take it for granted. I'm thankful for that opportunity. And, but yeah, man, it's just great, man. NFL is a great place. It's a great opportunity. I'm just thankful that I'm able to play this game that I love, this game that God has blessed me with the ability to have, to be able to provide for my family. And, I'm just thankful, man. It's been a crazy last few years. But I feel better than ever, man. I feel strong. I feel fast. I feel healthy. And I'm just going to keep going, keep pushing. Feel like I've some of my best football still ahead of me. Still got a lot of football here in my future, so I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, I mean, does it ever kind of just dawn on you that how rare it is for a running back to even play 12 seasons in the NFL? Like, it's, you know, I look around, I'm trying to think of players who, you know, Frank Gore comes to mind, of a guy who just played forever and really played at a high level. It wasn't, you know, just latching onto rosters. He was putting up numbers in those seasons. You know, when do you kind of step back and be like, wow, this is kind of incredible what I've been able to do in terms of longevity and just being available?
I just kind of think about it when people mention it, because I'm so I'm so locked in and focused on this season and preparing myself mentally, physically, emotionally to be the best version of myself for this season so I can go run for a lot of yards, so I can go get a lot of touchdowns, so I can go catch a lot of passes, so I can make blocks to help my quarterback throw passes and touchdowns, and just being the best version of myself, being a complete running back, that I'm so focused and consumed in that that I don't really take a step back to be like, oh, yeah, I've done this or my career's been this long. And even though that I hear it and I know it and I think about it, but I still feel like I have so much more to do and so much more to accomplish. I'm trying to win a Super Bowl, trying to run for a lot more yards, a lot more touchdowns, be one of the best running backs to ever play this game. When you mention running backs, I want to be mentioned in those top tier guys that have one of the best ones to ever carry the rock. You know what I mean? And that's what everybody should aspire to be. And that's what has always driven me throughout my career, is to be the best. And I still drive. That's still the driving factor in my heart and in my body. You know what I mean? So I want to be the best. I want to be a champion, still searching for that Lombardi trophy. And I'm just trying to do the best I can to prepare myself to be the best I could be for my team so I can attain those goals.
Gotcha. Now, one more, and then I'll let you go. I know you're a busy guy. I know going into the Saints run, you know, when you arrived, the roster table was kind of packed. There weren't a lot of numbers available. You ended up with 14 with kind of reverse of 41. Is that the number you're going to stick with, or is it going to be a roster hunting offseason or a jersey number hunting offseason for you?
I've been thinking about it. I'm like, man, I've had so many numbers. It's like, what would be the difference if I got another number? Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I got the equipment staff keeping me abreast on what numbers come available, and I'll make a choice, man. So we'll see. We'll see. I'm like, should I keep 14? It's kind of cool. Like, it's all right. You know what I mean? I've kind of grown to like it a little bit. Not love it. I've grown to like it a little bit. So we'll see, man. We'll see. Right now, I'm still 14, but as rosters and numbers kind of open up, we'll see. We'll see. I might choose another one.
Gotcha. Well, I mean, that's all I had. I appreciate you taking the time. It's been fun.
All right, it's closing time for sure. We're wrapping up the show. Bobby, AFC, NFC title games. Who you got advancing to the Super Bowl?
I'm taking the approach, like, I'll take the points, but I like the Chiefs and I like the Rams. I mean, when you look at it, I mean, I would like to see Joe Burrow, but if you see Matthew Stafford versus Joe Burrow, Matthew Stafford versus Patrick Mahomes, I mean, that's it. I mean, I want that. The NFL wants that.
I don't care what the NFL wants. I want to know who you think is going to win.
I just told you. Okay. The freaking Rams and the Chiefs. Now, listen, but if I'm betting, I would take the points and go in that direction.
Bobby, since 2014, there's been a Manning, Brady, Wilson, or Mahomes in the Super Bowl since 2014.
No, so I would say by you making that statement, the quarterback does make a difference. If you try to get not in the postseason or have a winning team, but to get to the big dance.
Scott Alexander, thanks for your help at Master Control. Stephen Geller for helping us put together the program. Our operations and brand manager, Diane Newman. I'm Christian Garrick, Semper Fi. I'm out. Bobby, do you think?
All right. Bonne nuit, les gens. Good night, people. Who dat?
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.